Hello, and welcome to the Cycling Science Podcast. I'm your host, Professor Richard Davison. This is episode 11, and it's the third in our recent technical innovation series. In this episode, my guest is long-term friend, Bully Chhobra, who invented the first commercially available power cranks. You may know them as SRM cranks, which have since revolutionised our understanding of the demands of both competition and racing. This in turn has allowed coaches to develop much more sophisticated and precise training programmes. In this episode, I talk to Uli about his latest first for SRM, the first available SPD power measuring pedals, the SRM X power pedals. At the start, he also gives a very nice short account of the history of SRM. So I hope you enjoy the interview. I am interviewing a really old friend of mine, Uli Chhobra. I think, Uli, we've known each other for about 25 years, but Uli's the founder and inventor of the SRM power cranks. I should also add that apart from being a mad inventing engineer, he's also a pretty mean cyclist, and I know that firsthand from him giving me a hard time when I visited him in Germany at the factory. So maybe just to start, Uli, if you would want to introduce yourself and a little bit of the history of SRM.
Yeah, my name is Uli Chhobra. I was born 1963 in Munich, Bavaria. I studied in the center west of Germany, later in my life, medical engineering. More or less the center of my life get focused by beginning the study at that part of Germany. I met my wife here, we have four children. And right away at the start at university, I was doing every weekend the usual bike races, what at that time a lot of guys did. And I was very focused on making the training better. So I studied all available training books, what I can found. And I came to the conclusion that measure the power is really essential to quantify and qualify the quality of the training. So this was more or less, you need to measure power to make the training better. And this was more or less what changed my whole life since from that point. I only worked in cycling, measuring the power in cyclists. So at the start, I was thinking, what is the best spot to measure on the bike? I measured on the pedals, on the cranks. I was thinking in the rear hub, but I found that the best spot to make a reliable power meter is between the axle and the chain rings. This is the spider called spider, where left and right force from the cranks and pedals is already combined and all not wanted forces are eliminated. So I created a plate that has more or less holes in, and the holes are put it on sensors, strain gauges, and then measure the deflection that is created from the torque from the axle to the chain rings. To measure the power, you need not only a torque, you need also a velocity or angular velocity. And this is simply measured with lead switches, because the power is the product of angular velocity multiplied with the torque. At that time, there was no ANT or Bluetooth available, so I had to think, how can I get the signals from the turning piece on the bike, the power meter, to a fixed part on the bike? And I made more or less sending with coils, like what did in the first part of the puller used to measure the heart rate, and transmitted on that way the signal for the torque and for the cadence with a very high speed. So the frequency of sending was 500 kilohertz. So it was a really high resolute signal that gets transmitted to the bike. And there I created with some friends a computer that collected the data and made an average per revolution to show, because you need, when you sit on the bike, you need a stable number to see, because during one revolution, let's say you're doing 300 watts, you do between 50 watts and 500. So you need really to smooth out the data at least by one revolution. So this is then called more or less the average power per revolution. Besides the power, the device was able to measure the heart rate and the speed and the temperature. This was the first bike computer we created around 19. I think the power meter was ready 1986, and the first head unit we had maybe in 1990s. So when this was ready, I was able to speak to the Federation. They were very interested. They got me a spot at the military, where I was able to work with the best athletes. And by the same time, I also started working with the East Germans. They invited me. And then it was funny, in the first year I worked with both federations, like the GDR and the West, at the Olympic Games, or was it the Worlds, they got both second behind the Russians. With the West Germans, I worked on the track, and then with the East, it was the 100 kilometer team time trial on the road. But anyway, the Russians were better in all this. Then later I got in touch with some other federations, but especially at that time I got a good friend of Greg Lemond, and he was at that time the cyclist with the most focused on new stuff. You remember when he won the Tour, he was the first time using a triathlon handlebar at a time trial in the Tour de France. He used aero helmets and others, and he was the first really good cyclist who understood that you measure the power to make the training better. So then with the help of Greg Lemond, and then later also, I have to say, here in Cologne is a department for development together for the space station Mir. And I got in touch with a professor in Italy. His name was Di Prampero, and he was responsible for the fitness of the Russian cosmonauts. So I got invited there at the university in Udine to show my device, because they wanted to put it in the space station Mir to measure the degrees of performance of the cosmonauts. Because when you're in space, more or less, you have no training, no exercise, there's no gravity, and you use all your power. But being at the university in Udine, I met another professor. His name was Conconi, and he was at that time, I think, the god in cycling, because he was at that time the doctor for the UCI. He invented a so-called Conconi test, and he was very interested in my power meter. And I think the first years he bought maybe 200 or 300 pieces for all the athletes he coached. So this was a big step to go into the Italian market. And also he was one of the reasons I have stayed in Italy, where we deal with all the Italian athletes, because Italy is still the number 2 or 3 country selling power meters. So far.
Wow, yeah, really impressive. And I think we met in the early 90s and bought some of your cranks at that stage, and it was really the use of that that we started to do an awful lot of research in our lab at that time down at Canterbury Christchurch.
Yeah, I remember you invited me. I should have a talk. And I came with my parents, but my English at that time was not that good, and I was really nervous in front of an audience about whatever, but at the end it worked out.
Yeah, it was good. It was great. I think it's a fantastic story, and I think what we try and do in the Cycling Science Podcast is to look, we're not really into marketing per se. What I'm interested in is innovation, and obviously the story that you've just relayed to us was a very significant innovation for the cycling industry, and of course you've not stood still since those days in early 90s when you started to produce those, and cranks, you were the first one to do so, very much seen as the gold standard, I think, because of the quality of the and the precision of the engineering that went into those. I say you've not stood still because you've developed a whole range of different cranks for nearly every type of bike. And also even another little bit of innovation I would like to just sort of mention to our listeners was also, I think you were at the early stages of using it and developing it, was the telemetry, providing information to some of the grand tours and so on about live measures of power during the race. And of course, that's now becoming a bit more commonplace, isn't it?
It was first with German TV and then with Discovery Channel for the USA.
Yeah. So we say it's something that we've certainly become a lot more used to. So I suppose, the reason for inviting you on to the podcast at this point in time is pretty much around the new pedals that you have out. So these are the X Power pedals, specifically for mountain bike. They're an SPD pedal. Obviously you already have a range of cranks that are available for mountain bikes. So why did you go down the pedal route for this one? As you've indicated already, probably the best place to measure power, the most stable place is at the Spider. But so why go to pedals in this instance? What was your motivation?
When you go back, let's say 30 years, there was more or less only two type of spiders available. It was Campagnolo and Shimano. They both had a four square connection to the axle, so they were more or less interchangeable, and they had more or less only one transmission, 39, 53, and not more was available. At the start, when I started, it was maybe at the rear 7 gears or 8 gears. Then they get every other year, get 1 gear more. But right now, you have not any more one standard for the cranks. You have on the bikes in general, let's say the BSA threaded BB, then you have the 30 millimeter BB, then you have BB Ride, BB386, then you have the BB9, the standard front track. And so you have all your bikes, maybe five, six different BBs. They are not compatible to each other. Then you have the main different spindle diameters, 24 millimeter or 30 millimeter. Like on a track bike, it is not possible to put in a 30 millimeter spindle. And then you have the drive side, like Campagnolo with a different chaining diameter, then Shimano with the other one, then you have SRAM, and now you have the compacts with other bolt diameter than the standard. And now even with the new 12-speed cranks from SRAM with a special chain, nothing is compatible. So we created our own power meter. It's called Origin, with our own crank together with Look, where you have three crank lengths in one with 24 and 30 millimeter spindle. But this It's very difficult to keep everything for all bikes, everything in stock. People want a Campagnolo, they want a SRAM, they want Shimano, they want a rotor, they want, and it's not anywhere possible. And I have to say, when you go a pedal on all bikes, the pedal tread is more or less the same. So you have a 20,000 euro bike or a bike that costs 150 euro. Both have the same pedal treads, so you can have one set of pedal and it fits almost on every bike. And when you go on mountain biking, more or less 90% have the Shimano SPD cleats, and this opens us a much more wide market, because with one pair of pedals you can put on all bikes and it's easier to interchange than a crank drive. This is about measuring the power on the pedal is a much bigger challenge than measuring the power meter on the crank, I have to say. You have two spots, and on each side you have to measure two forces, because you do not want to adjust the pedal to the angle of the crank, so you have to measure on each pedal a Y and a Z force, and then combine, and depending to the angle to the crank, what is the resultant force what you measure. And you need to measure at the end the tangential force that is created on the pedal, and not the radial force. And to measure the tangential force, you need to measure the force on the pedal in XY direction, and then the angle of the spindle, of the pedal spindle to the crank. And that's on both sides. And then you have to communicate from one pedal side to the other pedal side, and then to the head unit. And then, you know, some bikes, they are very massive, they have a disc wheel. So the communication sometimes from the left to the right side is not that easy to manage. So there are much more challenges and much more reasons the whole product could fail or is not as precise as it could be.
I think you probably see that, Uli, and, you know, obviously since you you were the original creator of the whole concept of the power meter and on the crank, and, you know, obviously others have followed suit now, but not so many on the pedals. And I think that's probably really what you've just alluded to, that the pedal measurement of power is a lot more complicated and difficult to do. And of course, as far as I'm aware, you know, this X Power pedal is the first SPD power pedal that's available. I don't think anybody else is doing one at the moment. So, you know,
we're lucky we were the first one.
No. So I, you know, obviously you have sent me a pair of these pedals very kindly. Thank you very much. And I've had a little try on them. I initially stuck them onto my Watt bike, and, you know, the numbers, well, first of all, I should say the installation was very easy. You know, simply put the pedals on. You have the app to help to do that installation process, but it's only a matter of seconds to orientate the pedal in the right direction and to get the calibration. And after that, it works really well. The comparison with the Watt bike is very similar. And then since that, I've tried it both on my road bike and on my mountain bike. Of course, I think we did a little chat earlier, and I did make the mistake of not going through the full installation process again when I moved the pedals, which was a mistake, but I've soon found that out. And as I said, it's a very simple process anyway. But
tell one time the angle where the pedal is at one point, and then it's fine.
Yeah. So it works really well. You know, where, you know, I'd say I've found that this really easy to use. You know, in terms of obviously you have a method of charging it, which is similar to a lot of I suppose the comparison I would make is like a lot of smartwatches, which is a little magnetic connector which fits onto the pedal and charges up quite easily. I also like the way that, you know, from the app, if you want to just check the battery status, it's quite easy from the app to see how much power is left in the battery. So they do, I have to say, they're a very nice pedal, a nice pedal full stop. I'm sure you probably had a lot of designs in terms of just what the pedal itself would look like, never mind the more complex electronics that need to go inside the pedal, because there are lots of different designs of SPD pedals out there, so I don't know how you came up with the design of the pedal. Was that just from your own experience of using different SPD pedals?
Yeah, I was looking what's on the market, and then I needed to find the binding, because we do not produce the binding, we buy this, and this we have to see what is accessible. But except of the binding, we produce everything at ourselves. So the body, the spindle, the strain gauges are custom made, the electronic, everything is custom made in this pedal.
So again, it's one of those things that, you know, I mentioned at the beginning that when we first met, you know, obviously I used your cranks to do a lot of research. It's something that obviously doesn't exist at the moment. There's a lot of research using on mountain biking using power pedals, SPD pedals. So I think it'll be interesting going forward for some researchers to use these pedals and try and just, I suppose, discover a little bit more about the exact demands of mountain biking, because obviously you're able to pick up that left-right balance, can't you, on the pedals as well. And so I think there's potential for a lot more research and a bit more understanding of the demands of mountain biking as a result. I don't know if there's any other labs that are currently using it, Uli?
No, you got one of the first. I send several pairs to the UCI. Mm-hmm. They use this, and till today, maybe we made, I have to think about maybe 150 pairs.
Okay. So obviously, unfortunately, I suppose that isn't it, the current situation's a bit handicapping for you. You would probably like to ramp up production. I'm sure there'd be a lot.
But it makes also no sense to ramp up production and then you figure out there are more errors and more bugs in, and then you have to call back. So it's better to start the production low and then ramp up when all the hiccups are solved.
Good. I suspect there's going to be quite a clamour for these. Certainly for those people that I've spoken to about it, they're very keen to find out more because there isn't anything equivalent on the market. You'd say I suppose typical for I suppose your products, to say they just work very well. I certainly couldn't say that I've had any problems with them. So thank you very much for creating another good product.
Thank
So
you.
Uli,
Thank you.
just before we go, obviously, if people want to find out a little bit more about the XPower pedals, they can go on to obviously your website, which is srm.de. Obviously, are you an avid tweeter, or can people find you anywhere else?
No, the only social media I use is Strava. I have no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram. But the company has this. The company, yes, but me personally not. But the company, yes.
I think sometimes you could waste all of your time on social media if you're not careful. It seems to be a disease that we have, that we seem to want to need to have to keep up with everybody. I'm not quite sure why we need that. Anyway, Uli, thank you very much for your time
Thank you,
and
Richard. And I hope I see you soon, maybe in Italy, or I come up with the family to see you in Scotland.
that would be great. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Cycling Science Podcast, and a special thanks to my guest, Uli Showborough. Remember, if you want to see the latest information about SRM, then go to the website srm.de. Also, if you go to my website, cycling-science.com, I've written a short article there about the interview with Uli and a little bit more about the XPower pedals, which obviously I've tried myself. If you would like individual coaching from me, you can contact me directly through our website, again, cycling-science.com, or you'll find me easily on social media, Twitter, rich_davison. Or you'll easily find me on LinkedIn. Please remember, if you'd like us to cover a particular topic on the Cycling Science Podcast, again, navigate to our webpage where you can send us a message on our contact us form. So it's a goodbye from me, your host, Professor Richard Davison. And until next time, I encourage you to keep questioning, keep learning to inform your coaching, training, and racing.